Colossians chapter 3. Let me go ahead and read our text verses this morning once again. Colossians 3, verses 18 and 19. Colossians 3, verses 18 and 19. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. I did a little bit of research and I found that the tallest tree in Australia is called the centurion and it is located in Tasmania. It's 100.9 meters high. That's a tall tree. But you know that great big huge tree that represents a landmark in Australia all started with a teeny tiny seed. That tree one time was just a little seed and now it's grown into the gigantic tree that it is. And you know, the same thing is true about bitterness. When God tells us here, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them, bitterness is one of those things that starts small and gets big and causes great troubles. And so as we look at this morning, I want us to take a good look at this word bitterness and what bitterness is all about. You know, one marriage author said, bitterness, I believe, is the number one killer of our marriages. And I think, you know, as I've pondered that and done quite a bit of study in the last few weeks, I think I would agree with him. Because bitterness gets into the very core of our hearts and our problems. Because every husband and wife has a sin nature, bitterness is a threat to every marriage. Therefore, God gave us these verses. You know, as I've looked back over my marriage, Melody and I have an extremely good marriage, and I think she would say the very same thing. And yet at the same time, I have to admit, there's been times when I've had bitterness. And there's been bitterness there that have hit things that she's done that has irritated me and rubbed me the wrong way. And, you know, those are the things that God is dealing with here with us. Now, last week we learned that the wife's role was a type of the church. And how that as being a type of a church, she is to submit to her husband and give him respect as the church, the believers, the body of believers, is to give respect and honor to Christ and submit to him. And the husband's role, we saw, was the type of Christ and how that as a type of Christ, we as husbands have a responsibility to love sacrificially our wives and to lead them as Christ loved sacrificially and leads us. That's a huge responsibility. Both of us, both the man and the woman, have a great responsibility. And as we look at this thought of this, or actually this command that God gives us here, he gave us two commands in verse 19. Verse 18's got this command for the wife, but verse 19, husbands, love your wives. That is a direct command. And he gives us a second direct command. And be not bitter against them. Do not allow yourself to be embittered against them. A direct command from God. And God directed that to the husband for a purpose, but at the same time, truthfully, I know that you women, you wives, struggle with bitterness at times as well. Husbands can be an irritant to you as well, just like it goes the other direction around. So all the things we're looking at here in the message this morning, even though God has directed it particularly to the husband because he is the leader and he is the one that is in charge and he is the one that is to set the example and he's the one that is to love and direct and guide the marriage, certainly the same things can apply to the wives as well. There are many needs and this is an area where we really struggle. Now, you think, well, how do I know whether I got bitterness? Well, husbands, when your wife does something that irritates you, and you get upset inside, that just, that feeling inside, sometimes you may stop talking to her, or avoid her, or treat her harshly, or wish to get even with her in some way. All that is bitterness that God's dealing with. That is the symptoms of the bitterness that is deep down inside. You may wonder, why then is bitterness so wrong? Well, it's wrong, first of all, because God said, husbands, don't be bitter. I mean, God directly commands us, don't do that. And therefore, we know that God says it's wrong. And yet, we find also that it is wrong because it does not address the problem biblically. It doesn't address the problems that come along. You know, when someone irritates you, getting bitter is not the biblical solution. That's not the right way to handle it. And we're going to see that as we dig through these things. Bitterness also is unforgiving. You know, if you hold bitterness in your heart, there's no room for forgiveness until you get the bitterness out. The bitterness has to come out before you can forgive. So it prevents bitterness, prevents forgiveness. And bitterness also will grow and potentially destroy your marriage. And sometimes it happens quickly, sometimes it happens slowly over time, little by little. Irritations build up and irritations add to the other. And they continue to build little by little until it causes great trouble. As we look at this passage this morning, as I studied through this week, I came to the conclusion I can't get through it all today. All right? And so we're going to have part three next week. But we'll get through part of it today because I don't want to rush. I want to be able to deal with things carefully. But we ask ourselves, what are we supposed to do? What are we supposed to do? Well, I want to give you some steps that you can take to conquer bitterness. And the very first step to conquering bitterness, I believe, is to identify all the seeds of bitterness in your heart. You cannot fix something until you know what it is. That is true in so many different ways. And we cannot solve a problem until we understand how it works. What is it? What's it doing? Some time ago, I bought my wife a secondhand sewing machine cabinet. And it had in it a lift that you kind of push on it and it would raise up the sewing machine to the surface, and then you could sew on it, and then you can push it back down, and it stays covered up. But it was broken. The lift was broken. And I'd never messed with that kind of stuff before, a whole bunch of pulleys and cables and all that kind of stuff. I didn't know. And, you know, I thought, well, I think, you know, I'm kind of fix-it type of a guy. I think I could probably fix it. And so I got a good deal on the thing and brought it home and started pulling it apart. It wasn't until I pulled it apart to the point where I could figure out, oh, that's how it works, that I could fix it. Until that point, I couldn't fix it. I could look at it and I could try to wiggle things, but nothing would fix it until I figured out exactly how it operated. And so it is in our lives. In order for us to be able to fix the problem of bitterness, we really need to understand what bitterness is and what's going on when we're feeling these feelings that we have in our inside that God calls bitterness. Bitterness is angry resentment harbored in the heart because of unkind treatment or unfulfilled expectations. My wife has done something that was unkind, or I expected her to do something that she didn't do, and that has irritated me and has caused a resentment in my heart and an angry feeling in my heart. Another way of looking at it is that bitterness is anger that is swept under the rug instead of taking care of it properly. You ladies don't do this, but guys sometimes do. You know, you've got to sweep the floor quick and just push it under the rug, cover it up, and nobody knows it's there. And it's out of the way, out of sight, nobody really knows. And you know, a lot of times we do the same thing in our marriages. We take that anger that's pent up inside of us and we're irritated, but oh, I'm not going to make a big deal about it. Just sweep it under the rug. And we don't deal with it. We don't take care of it. It's still there. It's still festering away. It's still causing troubles. It's still causing irritations. But they're covered up. They're down inside. And we try to cover it up and pretend that it's okay. But it's still bitterness that is growing. And those seeds of bitterness begin when our spout does things that irritate us. And most of the time, now I want us to catch this, fellas, ladies too, but fellas mainly. Most of the time, those things that she does that irritate us, or the other way around, most of the time, they're not done intentionally. They're not done to just bug you and irritate you. Most of the time, that's not the case. As I evaluated a lot of different examples of things that can irritate us, I found that they really fall into several different categories. One is just habitual problems. Habitual things like careless acts of leaving the door open. Not this again. She left the door open again. Can't you just shut the door? Or maybe leaving a drawer open. You know, and it's still sticking out halfway. And it's all kind of shut, but, and, you know, how many times have I asked you, please, shut the drawer so somebody doesn't bang their shins into this thing. And it's left open. Or maybe it's hanging up the towel. Us guys are probably worse about that, you know, just get done with it, throw it down, and why can't you pick up the towel and just put it on the rack? You know, that's where it's supposed to go. And those little kind of things, they irritate. They bug us. They chip away at us deep down inside. Or maybe it's, you know, not taking care of our dirty clothes. Or it's walking in with dirty feet. These habitual problems. Not done intentionally. None of those. I mean, when my wife leaves the drawer open, it's she's not thinking, you know, I'm going to just leave that open a little bit just to bug him. She doesn't do that. It's unintentional. It's just a non-thinking thing. You know, those kind of things that happen that are just habitual. Another one is accidental issues. These can really irritate us too. You know, maybe they spill or break or damage something that's mine. What were you doing messing with my stuff? Come on, leave it alone. Look what you did. It broke. Oh. And we get irritated. We get upset about those kind of things, and they chip away at us. Maybe it's oversleeping. You know, that happens to all of us sometimes. You know, you thought you set the alarm, and or maybe you didn't, and you slept right through it. But you oversleep for some reason. And then you're late, and you're rushing around, and what are you going to do? And being late on a regular basis. You know, this kind of things can be frustrating. Or forgetfulness. You know, would you please pick this up at the store on your way home today? Oh, yeah, I'll do that. And forget all about it. Yeah, where's this stuff you... Oh, I forgot. Sorry. Oh, why do we do that? And those are kind of things that eat at us. You know, these are the little termites, like, they get in there and they kind of chip away at us and eat away at us, and they cause bitterness. Those are the seeds that cause bitterness. There's also the personal acts that we do, you know, being slow, being late, squeezing the toothpaste different than their spouse, you know. Everybody's got their own way of doing that. Some of them neatly roll it up, and some of them squeeze it in the middle, and who cares? And whoa, why don't you do it the way you're supposed to do it? Well, you know, I don't know if there's a right way or wrong way, but if it's not my way, it's the wrong way. You know, and that's the way we always feel. And so there's those irritations. Maybe it's being sloppy housekeeper. You know, some ladies are not as neat as others. And the man comes home and says, oh, why does the place look like this all the time? Don't you do anything? And, you know, and those kind of irritating things. And then maybe it's serving meals late, or even basic things. I mean, we all struggle with just basic things, even like body odor. You know, didn't you take a bath today? You know, well, yesterday you didn't take one either. I mean, there's all kinds of things that can bug us and eat at us. And those little things, though they may seem small, they're the things that chip away and really get down inside and get under our rug and bug us. All right? And these are things we need to watch for. Then there's the unthoughtful things. You know, maybe it's careless spending, or being too busy to spend quality time together, or spending too much time on the phone, or spending long hours at work and not getting home. You know, those are the kind of things that, you know, and time, they chip away and they eat at us and they bug us and they irritate us. And those are the things that cause bitterness. Some things are even unavoidable that cause bitterness. Sickness or exhaustion. You know, I have to admit, before I got Lyme disease, there was times, more often than I like to admit, when my wife would be sick and exhausted, and I'd say, in my heart, I'm thinking, come on, woman, get out of bed. It's 9 o'clock in the morning. It's time to get up and going. And I'd get frustrated inside, and I didn't really understand. Well, God gave me Lyme so I can understand it now. And I understand what it feels like to be wiped out and laid in bed and you can't hardly move. And I'm thankful that God did that, because that was a great blessing in my marriage, because I was beginning to struggle with some bitterness in those areas. But so even things that are unavoidable can sometimes cause bitterness in our lives. And then there's some that are just plain sinful. Nagging. You know, that's, you just nag. Oh, how many times are you going to tell me that? Oh, come on, back off. You know, and there's, maybe it's a disinterest in intimacy. That can be a big one. Sharp or unkind words. Not the right thing to do. Unforgiving spirit. A controlling attitude. A lack of appreciation. You know, husband does lots of work and tries to work hard, and the wife seems to not even appreciate it. And, you know, we all fall into those categories sometimes. Maybe it's anger, unwillingness to communicate. That's a big one, too. We need to communicate, and sometimes, I just don't want to talk about it right now. But you didn't want to talk about it last time we brought it up either. Well, we got to talk about it sometime. Oh, just not now. And, you know, an unwillingness to talk about it, and that can irritate. You know, these are just a few of the things, and you could probably add, you know, to the list. But these are a few of the things that cause irritations in our marriages. And what are we going to do about it? These are the things that cause bitterness, those irritations, those sharp barbs that scratch us and make us feel very uncomfortable and irritated. One preacher named Stephen J. Cole, he made this statement. He said, bitterness takes root when you focus on the sins or shortcomings of your wife. Behind it, the disappointment of unmet expectations. It expresses itself by embittered anger, vindictiveness, and being cross or harsh, end quote. You know, if you argue frequently, you very likely have bitterness that is fueling the arguments. It is good to remember that your wife is more likely to irritate you if you are selfish or harsh or overbearing. I mean, that's true in every one of us. You work for a boss that is harsh and overbearing or selfish, and it's hard to be cheerful. And that is true in our marriages. Any resentment or irritation in the heart toward your wife is a seed of bitterness that builds pressure. I like to think of it as like a balloon. And you take a balloon, you know, we've all blown up a balloon. And you blow a balloon, you blow your blow in there, and it gets a little bit big. And every time we get irritated, there's another blow. And then irritated again, another blow. And unless you let the pressure out of that, what's going to happen? It's eventually going to explode. And that's exactly what happens in marriages. It's the little tiny bits of irritation that causes a little bit of bitterness and a little bit more bitterness and a little bit more bitterness and a little bit more bitterness, and it's getting bigger and bigger and bigger inside until all of a sudden, boom, it explodes. And I say, oh, what happened to them? I thought they were a happy couple, and now look what's happened. They're all feuding and fighting and talking about leaving each other. And what happened? It was those little things that they didn't deal with that built up and built up and built up and built up. And it's bitterness that we sweep under the rug, and it will cause us great troubles. But we need to consciously identify those irritations. And I'm not talking about just digging up the past to cause trouble. I'm talking about sitting down and writing down a list, if you need to do this, and write out a list of these are the things that are bugging me. These are the things that she did that irritate me. And this is what she did, and this is how I felt, and this is what she did and how I felt. And make a list of that. You say, Pastor, why would you want to do that? It's because you need to see exactly what is taking place, and then you need to take a good look at that list. We need to admit that these irritations are seeds of bitterness. See, in order for us to, remember back the sewing machine cabinet? You can't fix it until you see what's wrong. And until we're willing to say, yes, I've got a problem with bitterness. Yes, I do have a bunch of bitterness built up inside, and the balloon's about ready to pop. And if I don't deal with it, I'm in trouble. We've got to be able to admit that, because if we will not admit that, we can't fix the problem. There's got to be a willingness to admit. And sometimes that can be really tough. It's hard on our ego, hard on our pride to say, I've got a problem. Now, see, as we look at these things, we can say, well, yeah, but it's all her fault. No, there's no sense in blaming her. You're the one that's got the bitterness stored up inside. Or the other way around, whichever the case may be. If you've got the bitterness building up in you, it's you that it's building up in. And you cannot blame others for that. You've got to deal with the issue yourself. You've got to take care of it yourself. So easy to say, but I'm not bitter. It just bugs me when my wife does this. I'm not bitter about it. I'm just irritated. And yesterday I was irritated about it. And the day before I was irritated about it. And But the truth of the matter is, it's building bitterness. And if you deny that, you're deceiving yourself. The devil wants us to just justify ourselves and blame our spouse. It's not me. If she would change, things would be fine. If she would just stop doing those things that bug me, everything would be fine. You know, the truth of the matter is, if we weren't all selfish people, we'd be able to get along just great. But husbands were selfish and we wanted our way, and our wives are selfish and wanted their way, and if our two ways aren't the same, we're going to have conflicts. And we're going to have irritations that cause bitterness. And even if our wife is wrong, we still have to stop blaming and admit the truth. I am bitter. And we've got to deal with that. Your irritations are bitterness. And if you cannot control, you know, it's important for us to see this. We cannot control how our spouse acts. We're not in control of that. We can't control how they respond. We can control how we respond to what they do. That's our responsibility. If my wife does things that irritate me, I can't always change that. And I can't always fix that. But I can control how I respond to that. And that's my responsibility. And that's really a step in the right direction for dealing with this. God wants us to act biblically and not react carnally. And our tendency is to react carnally. You did this. That's the 29th time you did that, and I'm tired of that. And we get irritated inside, and it's building pressure, building pressure, building pressure. And sometimes we don't even say it outside, but inside we're saying it. And that's really more the bitterness idea. Is bitterness is not outward anger. Bitterness is inward anger. Anger that we've swept under the rug. We're keeping it hidden. But the pressure's building, just like in that balloon. The pressure's building because we're not dealing with it. And we've got to deal with that. So the first step is to identify the bitterness. And it, folks, listen, if we're not willing to say, yes, I can see I have an issue with that, I've got a problem. There is bitterness in my heart. There has been times when my spouse has done this and this and this, and it's bugged me, and it's building up, and it's every time I think about that, it just, but I try to keep my mouth shut and try to keep quiet and don't tell them, and that's not the solution. That's bitterness. And it's going to continue to build until we deal with it. We've got to deal with it properly. And so the first step is to identify the problem. The second step, and we won't get completely through this morning, but we'll get through parts of it, is to remove the bitterness from our heart. We've got to get it out of our heart. You know, when we go out in the garden and remove weeds, assuming you're not going to go out there with Roundup and try to kill everything, I wouldn't suggest that. But if you're going to remove the weeds, there's only one way to get them out, and that is to pull them out by the roots. And if you just pull the top off of them, I can guarantee you in a few days you're going to see it again. But if you pull it out by the roots, you can get rid of the thing. And the same is true with bitterness. We've got to get a hold of the root of the problem and pull it out from the roots in order to get the problem solved. Now, how do we do that? Well, there's some tools we can use. The first tool I wanted to see here is the tool of confession. Confession. We need to confess to God that our bitterness is sin. You know, if we come to God and say, God, you know, my wife has been bugging me and it's kind of irritating me and I wish she would change. God, would you please fix her? You're never going to get the problem solved. But it's not until we come to God and we say, God, I am guilty. I have responded wrong to these irritations and my heart is full of bitterness. And I am guilty, and that bitterness is sin. And I confess my sin to you. Would you please wash me clean? I have sinned against you, God. I have been bitter toward my wife. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God said if we confess, He'll forgive. But if we don't confess it, He's not going to be able to forgive. We've got to deal with it right before God. And to confess means to own up to it and say, God, I agree with you. You are right. It was wrong. And we come to God and admit the truth to Him. and agree with him that our bitterness is wrong, and agree with God that our bitterness will hurt our walk with him. Folks, that's the thing. I mean, you can be bitter toward your wife and she may not even know it, but it's hurting you spiritually because you're not right with God, because there's a problem between you and your spouse, and God knows that, even if she doesn't know that. God knows that. And God says, you've short-circuited our fellowship, and there's a problem. But it'll also harm your relationship with your spouse. Not a good thing. And you know, there's so many marriages today that are in sad shape and hurting and crumbling. Some of them on the outside, they look okay, but if you really knew what was on the inside, you'd say, wow, they're having problems. And maybe some of you here today, I don't know you're inside. But maybe you're struggling. And if you are, one of the things that are chipping away at it is bitterness. And God says, if you will confess your bitterness as sin, God can help you. Then you can ask God to change your heart instead of focusing on your wife's need to change. So many times we're ready to pray, God, would you change that woman? Look what she's doing. She's bugging me. Would you just change her? And God says, no, what I want you to do is I want you to say, God, would you please change me so that I can love her like I'm supposed to love her and care for her like I'm supposed to care for and overlook her problems like you overlook so many of my problems. And God, help me to love her like I'm supposed to love her. See, we need to say, God, change me. We need to stop blaming our wife for the way that we feel and ask God to help us pull out the roots of bitterness from our heart. God, would you please help me to stop blaming my wife? And please, God, help me to pull the roots of bitterness out of my heart. And we need to obey what God tells us in Ephesians 4, 31 and 32, where God says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. So he says, I want you to get rid of the bitterness. And he puts bitterness at the very top of the list. And you look down through that list and it covers all sorts of anger. Bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking. All different shades of anger. Some of them are loud outbursts. Some of them are frantic things. Some of them are more of the in calm. But it's still that anger inside. He says, I want you to get rid of all of it. But start with bitterness. Get rid of that bitterness. He says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you. Put it out of your life. Get rid of it. Now, folks, we can't do that by ourselves. We need God's help. To just say, from now on, I'm never going to get angry again or I'm never going to get bitter again. Well, that's not going to work. Because we're sinful people. And until we get to heaven and get rid of our sin nature, we're going to struggle. But we need God's help every day. So that means every day I need to come to God and say, God, is there anything in my heart that is not right between me and you or between me and anybody else that I need to get right? And if God reveals something, you get it right, you get it taken care of. If God says you need to go talk to your wife, remember how you just talked to her? You need to go talk to her and tell her you're sorry. Humble yourself, and I need to humble myself, and go to her and say, sweetheart, I've been praying, and God keeps reminding me that what I said to you, the way I said it wasn't nice. Would you please forgive me? Get it right and take care of it. And then we can be right with God. So we need God's help in this. And then he says, not only get rid of the bitterness and anger, but then what does he say? And be a kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. That's a big task right there. Kind. We can work on that. God can help us to be kind even if she's not kind. And when the irritation is there again, we can take care of the irritation or fix it or just say, it's okay, I'll live through this. It's not the end of the world. She didn't do it on purpose. But we need to be kind. And then he says tender-hearted. To have a gentle, tender heart toward them. Empathetic. Reaching out to them, tender-hearted, and then forgiving one another. Forgiveness. We're going to dig into more of this next week, Lord willing. But God says this is what we need. Take time to ponder these verses carefully. You know, I challenge every one of you to take those two verses, Ephesians 4, 31 and 32, and Work at memorizing them and then ponder them and think about them and ask yourself, am I doing that? Am I getting rid of all the bitterness and all the anger and all the clamor and all the evil speaking? Am I getting rid of all of that? And am I really being kind, tender-hearted, and forgiving just like Christ forgave me? You think about how Christ forgave us. I am so glad that God didn't say, Scott, you clean up your life and then come see me and I'll forgive you. I'd be in big trouble. But God said, you admit your problem, and even though you can't fix it, if you'll admit it and confess it, I will forgive you. That is a wonderful thing. We read in Psalm 86:5, for thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon him. But we need to come to him and ask him. The second tool. Once God has forgiven your bitterness, he will give you the grace to remove it from your marriage. And the second tool that he gives us to use is love. And I think it's no accident that God prefaced this command with the first command right in front of it. He says, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Love is important. Love is not that fuzzy feeling that we have when we're romantically in love. Love is giving of ourselves to meet the needs of another, expecting nothing in return. Giving ourselves. Love is a giving word. Love is an action word. Love is not a feeling. It's not what I'm going to get or what I feel or No, it's all about giving to meet the needs of another. That's why the Lord was able to say, love your enemies. Say, what do you expect me to do? Go give them a hug and a kiss? No, that's not what he's talking about with love. Love is not just, you know, the emotional side of it. We can love our enemies by being kind to them and being helping them and meeting their needs, even though they're dirty to us and hate us. We can do that with God's help. God's not saying go up to them and give them a hug and say, oh, I love you. No, we may still not like our enemies, but he says you're to love your enemies. So love is something that we choose to do. And we can choose to love our wife. We saw that last week as we dug into that somewhat and from Ephesians 5, how that the husband is to love his wife as Christ loved the church, and he is to lead lovingly and sacrifice to meet her needs and to seek to edify her and empathize with her and to care for her. And once God has forgiven your bitter heart, you can begin to love your wife like Christ loves you and seek to meet her needs. That's the second tool that God gives us, love. But it has to start with our clean heart. We've got to confess first. If we don't confess first and get right with God, we're not going to be able to love our wives like we should. And he says, once you've gotten that right, then I want you to love your wife. Take the time to think about the many times, and often, sadly, daily, that we grieve the Lord and the Holy Spirit. Just think back over our last day or two. Things that we've done or said or thought or an action or an attitude that we had that grieved God. What did God do? Did God sit up there in heaven and say, they're irritating me again. I'm going to figure out a way to get even with them one of these days. God doesn't get bitter. What does God do? God instead, in his tender love, he works to try to help us to overcome our sinfulness. He gives us the scriptures and he reminds us of verses that will help us to overcome our sinfulness and help us to overcome those problems. And you know, instead of getting irritated with our spouse, it'd be far better for us to make sure we're right with God and then do what we can to try to help them become a better person. But you know, remember, we'll talk more about this in the future, but many of those irritations are not even sinful. They're just things that bug us. Because they didn't do it my way, didn't squeeze the toothpaste my way, or didn't shut the door like I wanted. And their irritations are selfishness. So a lot of that really isn't anything that our spouse has really done wicked or wrong. It's just they didn't do it our way. All right? And so we need to remember all that, but just take a look at what God has done for us. And when God seeks to try to build us up and make us a better person, that is love. And that's what he's telling us to do. We need to seek to love our spouse in order to build our relationship and edify each other. True selfless love for your wife will enable you to overlook many of the little irritating things that she does. Remember what God said. He says, husbands, love your wives. Be not bitter against them. Love will take care of a lot of the problem. If we really love our wife, it doesn't really matter whether she hung up the toilet roll the wrong way, or whether she squeezed the toothpaste the wrong way, or whether she left the drawer open a little bit, or whether she forgot to hang up the towel, or sometimes maybe the other way around. You know what I'm talking about. It doesn't really matter. And we can love them enough to say, it's okay. I'll do it for you. I'll push the drawer shut for you because I love you. And I'll straighten out the toothpaste. It's okay. It's all right. I love you. And I'm going to get along with this. And I'm not going to make an issue out of it. And I'm not going to let it irritate me any longer. We can choose to love them. And love really can cover a multitude of these things. As Peter said in 1 Peter 4, verse 8, he said, above all things, have fervent charity or love. It's the word agape. Have fervent love among yourselves, for love covereth or hides a multitude of sins. He said, if we truly love, it'll hide a multitude of irritations, of things that bug us. It'll hide a lot of that. If we just love them enough and just say, it doesn't matter. I'm not going to let it bug me. I'm not going to let it fire me up anymore. I'm not going to let it get under my skin. It's okay, God. I love her and I'm going to overlook that because I love her. Love will help us if we'll do that. Romans chapter 12, verse 17, the Lord says, recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest or literally good in the sight of all men. Don't return evil for evil. That's our flesh. You know, you did that again, so I'm going to get back at you some way. I'm going to figure out a way to get back at you. I'll be quiet, or I'll ignore you, or I'll just treat you, you know, harshly, or I'll just, you know, because you did this to me. God says, don't do that. The next verse in Romans 12, verse 18, it says, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. He said, I want you to live peaceably. That certainly starts in the home. I think the context is probably talking about the congregation, but it certainly starts in the home. If you can't live peaceably in your own home, how are you going to live peaceably with everybody else? God wants us to strive for peace. And he ends the chapter there in verse 21. He says, and be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. How much happier our homes would be if we would overcome evil with good. They irritate us again. That's okay. I'm not going to let it bug me. You're sweetheart. I'm going to do something nice for you. Why is that? Just because I love you. Overcome evil with good. It would resolve a lot of our bitter problems. Loving your wife biblically will prevent you from being selfish, harsh, and demanding dictator who tramples on her feelings. And you will be patient with her and help her to grow without becoming unreasonable. And these are just a couple of tools that we can use, and there's several more that we're going to look at next week, that we can use to get rid of the bitterness, pull it out by the roots. But it's got to start by identifying the bitterness and understanding, yes, that's what bitterness is, and yes, that's something that's inside of me, and I've got a pile of it to get rid of. And I strongly suggest that you take and write down that list. Even if it's just for your own good, one of the things you can do is write down that list, and then I want you fellas, listen, to take this. You take that list, and then you go down that list and say, how many of these can I justly cross off if I would just love my wife like I'm supposed to? Probably 3/4 of them on that list we could just write a line through and say, that doesn't matter, I can love her through that. I can love her through that one. That one doesn't matter either. I can love, and we can cross off most of them because they weren't intentional, they weren't trying to get back at us, they weren't sinful, they were just things that bug us. And we're being selfish, and we're being self-centered. And if we just genuinely love with a sacrificial love, we can cross off a lot of those things that are making us bitter. And then there's a few that we're going to have to deal with a little bit more deeply, and we'll dig into some of that next week. And so I encourage you to be back next week as we look at the next portion of this, and ask God to help us to understand this. But we've got things to work on today. And I hope that you'll take these things home. And as I said from the beginning, this really applies to ladies as well as the men. Because I know that there, you know, you ladies many times have probably more reasons to be bitter toward your husband than he does the other way around. We can be irritating type fellas sometimes. A lot of times. All right? We're more likely to leave things lay and walk in the house with dirty feet and not hang up our towel and you know, do the things that are unreasonable. That's more of our style. So you girls got the same problem, and we've got to deal with this. But if we don't deal with it, and it keeps building up, building up, building up, and for some of you, maybe the pressure's pretty big, and you're right waiting for the balloon to explode. We need to let the pressure out, and we need to get down to the root and pull out those bitter roots, and you start by confession to God. And you come to God and say, God, I'm guilty. Would you please forgive me? That'll make a huge difference in your whole attitude. And then God will say, all right, now you've got the ability to love like you're supposed to. Now let's start loving. And that will help tremendously. And there's some more things we'll look at next week.